lifestyle defender of the working class majority, Rick Smith.
Well, some not good news today as the Senate, and this is one of those things that's just mind-blowing to me, but the Senate passed along the mission bill, which the VA Mission Act, 92-5 out of the Senate. It was passed 347-70 in the House. It's going to Trump's desk, the beginning of privatizing the Veterans Administration and health care for our veterans. We are now putting into Wall Street and into the for-profit healthcare industry, the people that we've put up on pedestals, called heroes, and I argue this is one of the worst decisions that they could possibly make, especially because they're going to set up a BRAC-like system to go around the country and close down veterans' hospitals. This is bad all the way around. This is destructive, but it is not unpredictable. What we've done in this country on the healthcare issue is nothing short of despicable, if not criminal. And here to talk about what's going on with the Medicaid front and the destruction of, you know, just sanity in this country. I'll be honest, it's just insane what we've allowed to happen over these last year and a half. I've asked Anna Crook Corbin to come talk with us. She's a mother, healthcare activist, and patient advocate for her two children. Anna, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I look at this and, you know, we gave massive amounts of tax money away, almost $2 trillion over the next decade to the 1%. And now they're coming back and saying, you know, Anna, you know, we just can't afford to have that chip. We just can't afford that Medicaid. Sorry. Good luck.
Right. And that's what we dealt with all last year. I mean, I took my boys to Capitol Hill. We just went for our 30th trip. I live in Hanover, Pennsylvania, so it's about a three-hour trip for us with traffic. But we kept showing up because I wanted to show these senators that my children, you know, it's okay to see these talking heads on TV talking about CBO scores and bar graphs and pie charts and, you know, monies. And I'm like, these are kids. You're affecting my children's lives by taking away their health care. And so we felt like we had such a victory when we were able to knock down each one of those health care bills as they came at us that were going to block grant and cap Medicaid and repeal the ACA. And then when the tax bill passed, it was just it was a real blow to us because we knew and people don't understand that, you know, that money's got to come from somewhere. And when they cut the taxes for the wealthy, they're going to pull that from what they call the entitlement programs like Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security, and it's going to affect all of these people who have these health issues that they can't afford to take care of without those programs.
Right. I mean, the entitlements that are vital to keep people alive. But here's the thing, and I truly believe this, and you don't have to come along with me on this, but I think the guy who's running for governor out in Oklahoma is indicative of what the Republican majority right now is. And his mindset was, Anna, that, you know, if you and your kids can make it, great. But if you can't make it, government's not going to help you. Best of luck. We shouldn't keep you around.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's nothing unlike anything that I've seen in comment sections on the speeches that I've given or tweets that I've made. So that's a common consensus around this country that, you know, I hear a lot, you shouldn't have had your children. Your children should have never been born. You know, that's the kind of mentality some of these people who are voters have, is that, you know, these kids should have never been born, and now that they're here, nobody should take care of them because they don't deserve it. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking as a mother. But, you know, I've fought for my kids since the day they were born. You know, that's something that you have in you from the time you become a parent, particularly when you're a parent of children with long-term healthcare needs. And, you know, you learn to fight the doctors, and you learn to fight the insurance companies, and you learn to fight with family members that don't agree with what you're doing. And you know, so if I have to fight the government, you know, I've been preparing for this for a while, and I'll just keep going.
Yeah, you're fighting for your children. There are times, though, when I meet those people, and like you, I'm sure you've met a bunch of them. I then start to say, maybe I should advocate for, you know, 150th term, you know, abortions. Unlimited cases, you know, certain people who we can just, let's just take them out. That's not funny and it's not nice. But there's sometimes I think this way because, you know, there are people who just have such just despicable thought processes. And to tell a mother that her children should have never been born and that they don't matter, if that isn't the source of evil and just absolute cruelty, I don't know what is.
I totally agree, and it's a shame because, and now I will say this, for all of those comments, you know, we have the positive comments. We have the people who, now that moms and dads like me and my husband and the other families that we've met that are fighting for health care for their kids too, you know, it's really encouraged us to speak up and speak out. I always laugh and say we were a very private family. We really didn't tell anyone that my children were on Medicaid. And then the election happened, and I realized that we had to fight. And so I said, we have to make this public because I want to tell our story. And I am pretty sure my in-laws found out that their grandchildren were on Medicaid when the first article came out about us. So it wasn't something that we really broadcast or anything. But for all those people who are saying terrible things, there are also people who are seeing things for how they are for the first time and who are really listening to our story. And it's resonating with them. And I've got to hope that there's more of them than the other kind. But, you know, you never know.
No, I sure hope you're right. But, you know, here's the thing. When your family found out that your children were getting Medicaid, was that hard for you? I mean, was that because we've put a kind of a stigma on this, even though Medicaid is one of the biggest insurers of children and the elderly in this country. It's one of the main parts of our social safety net, especially for the elderly in long-term care. Was it something of a hit to your pride? I mean, I'm curious how you took that.
Not really, because what was a hit to our pride was not being able to provide for our children when we didn't have Medicaid. When we went 4 years without Medicaid, we didn't know what was available to us in our state. We always thought that Medicaid was income-based, but we live in Pennsylvania where they have the PH95 waiver, and what that means is that children who have disabilities or long-term medical needs, they qualify for Medicaid regardless of income. We were not aware of that until 4 years into the boy's diagnosis. We were receiving care out of state at Johns Hopkins, and since Medicaid doesn't cross state lines, we never knew that that was available. So for 4 years, we had trouble putting food on the table. We had trouble buying coats for our kids in the winter. I mean, it was a constant struggle because every single penny went to their specialist visits. It went to their surgeries. It went to their prescriptions that were astronomical. And we have a primary insurance, but the co-pays and the deductibles were killing us.
Jeez.
You know, that hurts your pride. Not being able to take care of your children hurts your pride. So for us to turn to Medicaid because it helped us take care of our children better, you know, it is what it is. And so, no, it wasn't a blow to our pride. And if anything, if I am able to help remove that stigma and encourage other families to not be ashamed of it and to go ahead and speak out, you know, I'm willing to do that because it isn't anything to be ashamed of. It is not my fault that the medicine that keeps my son from vomiting every day costs $1,100 a month. That's not my fault, you know. And so we did what we had to do because the costs are too high. If the healthcare costs in this country could be controlled, we wouldn't need Medicaid, but that's not the case. So we have to depend on it.
No, I'm right there with you. Look, I'm a Medicare for all guy. I think we open up Medicare, fix a price to it, make sure everyone's covered across the board from cradle to grave. And with no caps, you know, over the years, and I don't know how long you've been going through this, but, you know, you're going back before the ACA, where insurance companies put lifetime limits on top of care. I've known numerous families who, you know, they had to quit jobs and try and find other jobs with different insurance, so that they could, their kids who may have had leukemia or, you know, you name the illness, that there's, you know, unfortunately thousands of them. that you know they couldn't get any more insurance, and they were going bankrupt.
Absolutely, and so that's why it's not just the cuts to Medicaid that we're worried about. We're worried about the ACA repeal, because the ACA repeal protects our children. It allows them to be on our insurance until they're 26, which is phenomenal for families like ours, when we know that our kids have to be insured. But also just not being able to be discriminated against, because, I mean, when you have a genetic condition like my kids have, when you have Noonan syndrome, you know, that's a whole caseload of pre-existing conditions. You know, they see five specialists each, you know, and they're going to have this for the rest of their lives. And I don't want it to. I don't want them to live the way we were living if they decide to have children, you know. And when the ACA passed, it was just such a relief for us, because we knew our kids were always going to be taken care of, and you know, here we are, and it's under attack, and we didn't think that would happen, and all that relief that we felt is gone.
Yeah, that's got to be hard on you, and I'm sorry you're going through this. You know, as I was reading through some of your writings and some of the things that you were. That you put out on Twitter, you know, one of the things that came out that I hear quite often with people in situations similar to yours is that you actually had considered at one point you and your husband divorcing,
yeah.
So that you could get insurance, so that you know, any number of reasons. And you go, really, the people who tell us they're the party of family values are pushing policies that are forcing families like yours into that kind of a dilemma. Is that really the party of family values?
Exactly. And that it's heartbreaking to me, but we did. We sat, you know, you sit and you do anything, you know, you think, what can we do? We explored all our options. And one of them was, you know, maybe we separate. Maybe we separate, and then I take the kids, and then we can get them on Medicaid, and we can get, you know, and like I said, at that time, we didn't know what was available to us in our state. And that's a whole other issue, with families not being informed of what is available to them and what options they have. I've also used this platform to be able to expand that to families and say, you know, you're eligible for this, and you can get this help. You don't have to struggle, you know. Because we didn't know. I would have given anything. I found out on Facebook from a fellow Noonan syndrome mom who lives in Philadelphia, and she said, hey, you know, there's a waiver in Pennsylvania, and I had no idea.
No, I mean, it's important that information gets out. But, you know, in any civilized society, especially the wealthiest society in the history of the world at its wealthiest point, you know, taking care of children just seems like it should be, you know, taking care of your most vulnerable should
right.
be the simplest of parts to this. And you know, I go back to, you know, I look at all of the 60 some votes to repeal the ACA. I look mm-hmm. at Trump and the Republicans really, you know, doing the hard press these last 18 months to destroy and you know, just defund this life support hand. And it just says, you know, have we evolved, as someone said in the chat room, have we evolved into a new species without empathy?
I wouldn't doubt it. I know that's terrible, but the things I've seen and the comments that I've heard and just watching those votes, like when I think back to the crucial night, the night is so vivid to me, the night that John McCain put his thumb down and voted no. And I jumped up and was screaming, and I ran upstairs, and I woke up my husband, and I said, it didn't pass, the bill didn't pass. And I thought to myself, I have spent so many sleepless nights by my kids' bedsides, you know, hoping the fever would break, you know, hoping they make it through the night. And there I am, and we've kind of hit a plateau with their health, where we've got them kind of, you know, it's up and down, but we're hitting a good streak right now where they've been reasonably healthy, you know, and I'm up at 2:30 in the morning watching my government vote whether or not my kids are going to lose their health care, you know, and it's absurd to me that this is happening, that our government is attacking our children, because that, you know, people say that I'm being drastic when I say that. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, most of the Medicaid recipients, many of the Medicaid recipients are children in this country with the CHIP program and with Medicaid, all of that. And they're, when they're looking to cut it, they're looking to attack our kids. And I don't know why they're coming after them.
Well, because they can, and because they're greedy. I mean, at the end of the day, it is all about the money. It's all about taking that pot of money and giving it away to big corporations and the very wealthy. Because, I mean, at least that's what I've seen. That seems to be the MO. But I listened to your story, and I got to tell you, it's heartbreaking to hear that there are people who are up at night worrying, you know, if they're not just worrying that if their children are going to be okay, but if they're going to be able to see a doctor. I mean, that's kind of insane to me.
Yeah, and it's true. And I'm nobody special. There are millions of families out there like mine.
No, you're right. It could happen to any of us.
And so it's really sad that's what we're doing. That's how we spent last year. We spent last year, you know, checking Twitter constantly. Is there a new bill? Oh, Graham Cassidy, the skinny repeal, you know, constant monitoring and wondering what was happening and trying to figure out the details. You know, I went from just being a mom to, I feel like, a policy wonk that's like knows all these terms and reading bills and understanding what's going on, because they're attacking my kids. So in order to fight back, I have to be able to understand what they're talking about so that I have something, I know what I'm fighting, and I understand it enough to move forward.
Good on you. Last question I've got for you. Let's say they take this away. They take Medicaid away. What happens to your kids? I mean, you know, I've heard horror stories. I'm curious what you think happens.
Well, what happens, and I say this all the time, when it comes down to, we often use the rhetoric of you shouldn't have to choose between a gallon of milk or a prescription. That's kind of silly to say, because I'll tell you, there is no choice. You pick up the prescription. We will go back to doing what we always did. We've been through my husband and I talk about this all the time. We're good at being poor. We know what to do. We'll take care of our kids. We'll take care of their health. We'll probably go to bed hungry some nights. There'll be some nights milk's not in the refrigerator, and we'll make do. It's not so much what we'll do, because we've had the experience. My heart breaks for the families who are going to be blindsided, the families who have no idea what's coming at them. We've already done it once, so it'll be a struggle, but we'll do it again, as hard as it'll be. But I can't imagine what it'll be like for the families that are about to go through it for the first time, because it's not easy.
It's amazing stuff. But, Anna, I appreciate you sharing your story and coming and talk with us. Best of luck to you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Anna Crook. Corbin, no, I mean, you look at it, and it's sad. I mean, look at what's going on in Louisiana right now. Where they've sent out letters to 37,000 people saying, hey, you know what? Your Medicaid might be cut off. You know, good luck. Make other plans. You quadriplegic woman, you might be out in the streets. Sad, sad, scary stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.